Before understanding the mercy of Sri Chaitanya properly, it is very helpful to hear the glorious life of Sri Madhavendra Puri. In fact, yesterday was the disappearance day of Sri Madhavendra Puri. So, on this auspicious time, I would like to briefly narrate, according to the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila Chapter 4, the story of Madhavendra Puri's devotional service. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes here that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after he had taken sannyas, he went to the home of Advaita Acharya, Shantipur. And there it was decided that rather than going to Vrindavan, he would go to Nilachal or Jagannath Puri. So he took four of his associates and they began to travel. On the way, immersed in ecstatic love, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was performing wonderful kirtan, and they were stopping at many holy places. And they came to a very important holy place, which is in Orissa. It is near the village of Balasur, and it is called Remuna. It was at Remuna that the very famous and celebrated deity of Gopinath was residing within a temple. So they visited, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the beautiful form of Sri Gopinathji, and he offered his prostrated obeisances at the lotus feet. And just when he offered his obeisances, a helmet of flowers fell from Gopinath's head and fell upon the head of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this incident transformed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's heart into such a grateful state of love that he began beautiful kirtan, dancing in transcendental ecstasy. And all the pujaris and all the village people gathered around. Never had they seen such beauty, such grace, and such transformations of divine love. They spent the night there because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very anxious to receive the famous form of Mahaprasad that is served. Every day they offer Gopinath 12 earthen pots of sweet rice. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to taste that. So while they were waiting, he narrated to his devotees a story that he had heard from his spiritual master, Ishwara Puri, about Sri Madhavendra Puri's devotional service. He describes that Sri Madhavendra Puri at one time traveled to Vrindavan, and he came upon the hill known as Govardhan. When he saw the Govardhan hill, which is none different than the very body of Sri Krishna, he was maddened in transcendental love. Sometimes he stood up, sometimes he fell down, and he was crying tears from the heart. Madhavendra Puri's position is so special, and his love was unique in this world. Although Madhavendra Puri appeared and took initiation within the Madhvacharya Sampradaya, the understanding of the conjugal love affairs of Radha and Krishna and the awakening of this conjugal ras within one's own heart had never appeared within this Sampradaya until Sri Madhavendra Puri revealed it to the world. So after circumambulating the Govardhan Hill, Madhavendra Puri went to Govinda Kund. That is the place where Indra, after seeking shelter of Sri Krishna, he had sent the Samvatarka clouds due to being humiliated by the Lord, his pride smashed, in order to destroy all of Braja. But Krishna effortlessly lifted the Govardhan Hill with the little finger of his left hand and called all the cows and all the Brijabasis under the hill, where they very safely and peacefully remained for 7 days while the thunder and the rains were pouring down. And alas, Indra, seeing that this small 7-year-old child was none other than the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Almighty and All-Powerful Godhead, he came down and begged his forgiveness. And in Govinda Kund, Indra performed the Abhishek ceremony for Lord Sri Krishna. So to this day, it is one of the most holy of all places in all the earth. Madhavendra Puri sat to take his bath at Govinda Kund. After taking his bath, he sat beneath a tree to take his rest. And while he was sitting beneath that tree, an unknown cowherd boy came with a pot of milk and placed it before Madhavendra Puri. So this cowherd boy, with a smile, addressed Sri Madhavendra Puri. He said, "Please drink this milk I have brought. Why don't you beg some food to eat? What kind of meditation are you undergoing?" When Madhavendra Puri saw that boy, he became very satisfied. Hearing his sweet words, he forgot all hunger and thirst. Madhavendra Puri said, "Who are you? Where do you reside? And how did you know that I was fasting?" The boy replied, "Sir, I am a cowherd boy and I reside in this village. In my village, no one fasts. In this village, a person can beg food from others and thus eat. Some people drink only milk. But if a person does not ask anyone for food, I supply him all his eatables. The women who come here to take water saw you, and they supplied me with this milk and sent me to you. I must go very soon to milk the cows, but I shall return and take back this pot of milk from you." Saying this, the boy left, and he could no longer be seen. After drinking the milk, Madhavendra Puri washed the pot and put it aside. And he looked toward the path, but the boy never returned. Then Madhavendra Puri sat under the tree and began to chant, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare." And at the end of the night, he dozed a little, and his external activity stopped. And in a dream, Madhavendra saw the same boy. The boy came to him, holding his hand, and took him into the jungle. And then the boy showed Madhavendra Puri the bush and said, "I reside in this bush. And because of this, I suffer very much from severe cold, rain, showers, wind, and scorching heat. Please bring the people of the village and get them to take me out of this bush." Hari Om. Jai Shri Radhe. Please. "To take me out of this bush. Then have them situate me nicely on top of the hill. Please construct a temple on the hill and install me in that temple. After this, wash me with large quantities of cold water so that my body may be cleansed. For many days I have been observing you and I have been wondering, when will Madhavendra Puri come to serve me? I have accepted your service due to your ecstatic love for me. Thus I shall appear, and by my audience all fallen souls will be delivered. My name is Gopal. I am the lifter of Govardhan Hill. I was installed by Vajra, and here I am the authority. When the Mohammedans attacked, the priest who was serving me hid me in the bush in the jungle. Then he ran away out of fear of attack. Since the priest went away, I have been staying in this bush. It is very good that you have come here. Now just remove me with care." After saying this, the boy disappeared. Then Madhavendra Puri woke up and began to consider his dream. He began to lament, "I saw Lord Krishna directly, but I could not recognize him. Thus he fell down to the ground in ecstatic love. Madhavendra Puri cried for some time, but then he fixed his mind on executing the order of Gopal. Thus he became tranquil. This is very important. A devotee is more concerned with executing the order of Guru and Krishna, with rendering service to Krishna, than he is with enjoying the ecstasies of Krishna consciousness. In this way, a devotee does not want to exploit Krishna for spiritual happiness, but rather a devotee is willing to even engage in all sorts of sufferings if that is what is required to execute the will of Lord Sri Krishna. So Madhavendra Puri fixed his mind on executing the order of Gopal. And after taking his morning bath, he entered the village and assembled all the people, and he spoke to them. He told them that the proprietor of this village, Govardhana Dhari, is lying in the bushes. Let us go and rescue him from that place. He told them that the bushes are very dense, that they should bring choppers and spades to clear the way. After hearing this, with great pleasure, all the villagers followed Madhavendra Puri. They cut through the jungles to make a path. And when they saw the deity covered with dirt and grass, they were all struck with wonder and pleasure. After they cleansed the body of Gopal, they realized that this deity was very heavy, and no one person could move him. So some of the stronger men came to carry him to the top of the hill. And a big stone was made for a throne, and another stone was put behind for support. Then the Brahmins gathered, according to Gopal's instructions, 900 pots of cool water from Govindakund. And as they were collecting these pots, there was beautiful kirtans, musical instruments, the singing of women, and thus the festival of the installation took place. Some sang and some danced. All the milk, yogurt, and ghee from the entire village was the festival. Various foods and sweetmeats and other kinds of presentations were brought there. They brought large quantities of tulsi leaves, flowers, various kinds of garments. And then Madhavendra Puri personally began the Abhishek ceremony. First they dispelled all inauspiciousness by the chanting of mantras. Then the deity was massaged with a large quantity of oil so that his body became shiny. After the first bathings, they bathed him with the panchagavya. Panchagavya means cow dung, cow urine, ghee, yogurt, and milk. Then they bathed him in panchamrit, which is the five kinds of nectar, which is ghee, yogurt, milk, honey, and sugar. And they bathed him with over 100 pots of water, scented, or with fine oils, as well as with ghee. This is called the Mahasnan. After the Mahasnan was finished, they again massaged Gopal's body with scented oil. Then again, the last bathing ceremony was performed with scented water kept in a conch shell. After the deity was cleansed, he was dressed nicely with new garments and sandalwood pulp, tulsi garlands, and other fragrant flower garlands were placed upon the body of the deity. After the bathing ceremony was finished, incense and lamps were burned and all kinds of food was offered before the deity. These food included yogurt and milk and many sweetmeats as they received. As soon as the people of the village had understood that the deity was to be installed, they brought the entire stock of all their foods, all rice, all dal, all vegetables, and they prepared preparations that covered the entire surface of the top of Govardhan Hill. You see, the villagers, they were not concerned in the typical greedy way with their economic development. They were truly Vrijavasis, in the sense that they knew that everything is simply meant for the pleasure of Krishna. Rupa Goswami says, if you surrender everything you have to Krishna, do not think you will be the loser. You will gain millions of times. So here we find all the villagers. They brought everything they had, all their wealth, all their foodstuff, jewelry, fine cloth, garments, simply offering it to Gopal, with not even a thought that how will we survive. Bhagavatam explains, if you water the root of the tree, the whole tree is nourished. If you satisfy Krishna, there is nothing to fear. Krishna is the ultimate provider of everything. Not a blade of grass can move without his sanction. So this was the faith of the Vrijavasis. And this is the faith that is required to actually attract the heart of Govinda. This faith that we have nothing to hold back, everything is Krishna's. Let us offer everything. It is sometimes said that Krishna does not see how much you give him, but he sees how much you hold back. So the mood of the real Vrijavasis is this. Let us give everything for Gopal. And they just were so happy. For them, it was not an austerity. It was a joy to please Krishna. And in the morning, the cooking began. 10 Brahmins cooked the food grains. 5 Brahmins cooked both the dry and liquid vegetables. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes all the varieties of preparations that were made. He cannot describe them all. They made huge quantities of chapatis, which were sufficiently covered with ghee, as were all the vegetables, the rice and the dal. They made big, big mountain of rice. And around the mountain of rice were all the chapatis, the rotis, and all other varieties of vegetables, sweetmeats, and everything. Pots of yogurt, milk, buttermilk, sikharani, sweet rice, cream, and solid cream were placed alongside the vegetables. And in this way, the Anakut ceremony was performed by Sri Madhavendra Puri. And he personally offered everything to Gopal. Then they offered him scented water for drinking. And they were in the consciousness that Gopal had been hungry for many days. You see, the true standard of deity worship is not only in the observance of rules and regulations, that must be there, but the true standard of deity worship is the condition of the heart. Whether we have the realization or not, we must have the faith in the Shastra, in the previous Acharyas, in the Guru and the Vaishnavas, that the Murti of Gopal or Sri Krishna is none different than Krishna. And out of his great kindness, he is assuming a helpless position just to accept our love and devotion. So Madhavendra Puri and all the Vrijavasis, they were very conscious that poor Gopal, he was in the heat, in the cold, in the winds, in the rains. No one gave him any food. No one gave him any water for so many days. So to satisfy him, to please him, they were preparing enormous amounts of prasad, enormous amounts of scented water, wonderful, wonderful bathing ceremony. It was all done in this consciousness that he is a person. He is a supreme person, Purushottam. He is the beloved of our hearts, the beloved of our lives. And our perfection and our pleasure in life is only to the extent that we can please him. Of course, this consciousness originates in Srimati Radharani. She is the Bhakta Rupa. She is the personification and the storehouse of all love and devotion. And it is through her that this spirit of complete sacrifice in love for the pleasure of Govinda originates. Radha is none different than Krishna. They are the one supreme person. Krishna is the supreme object of love, and Sri Radharani is the supreme lover. So therefore, great souls like Madhavendra Puri, they are, by the mercy of Sri Radharani, empowered with this spirit of hers in minute portion. Just as the Jivatma is part and parcel of Krishna, all bhakti, all devotion, all love is part and parcel of the supreme whole of Sri Radhika's love, which is simply how to satisfy Krishna, how to please Krishna in a most personal and wonderful way. How Gopal ate everything that was offered, mountains of food, bhoga that covered the entire surface of the top of Govardhan Hill. And Madhavendra Puri, by his transcendental vision, by the mercy of the Lord, was able to perceive how Gopal ate everything and yet allowed everything to remain as it was, as his Mahaprasad. Kaviraj Goswami explains that this wonderful festival was all held in one day. And he describes how impossible it was to do, but by the inconceivable potency of Gopal, although no one could understand it, it was done. Similarly, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a story of Sri Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Once in the morning, he approached Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to invite him for prasad at noon. And when Lord Gauranga came, there was such an immense display of Mahaprasad before the deity. Mountains. Hundreds and hundreds of preparations. Most expertly prepared. And it was all made by Sarvabhauma and his wife. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "You just invited me a few hours ago. How is it possible? It would have taken 10 Brahmin men 10 days to cook all this food. How have you done it in just a few hours?" And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, being a true devotee, he replied that he who this food was meant to be served to, he has cooked it all. I only collected the ingredients. In other words, Gauranga Mahaprabhu, it is by your mercy that it is all done. We are all your assistants. So Madhavendra Puri had this realization as he saw the impossible become possible right before his eyes. And then Madhavendra Puri offered Gopal water for washing his mouth. And then the aarti ceremony was performed by Srila Madhavendra Puri himself. And everyone was chanting, "Jai Gopal, Jai Gopal." And then, arranging for the Lord's rest, Madhavendra Puri brought a new cot and constructed a small little temple around the cot so that Gopal could have a nice private and comfortable place to rest. And then Srila Madhavendra Puri, he instructed that we must now, he gathered all the Brahmins who had prepared the prasad and said, "Now we must feed everyone sumptuously, from the children up to the aged." And all the people gathered there and sat down to honor the prasad. And they took the food. All the Brahmins and their wives ate first. Not only did the people of Govardhan Hill take prasad, the village, but those who came from other villages, hearing about this festival, they all came. They all saw the deity of Gopal. They were all offered sumptuous prasad. And seeing the influence of Madhavendra Puri's love and devotion, how it had attracted Gopal to appear within their midst, they were all struck with wonder. This is also a very important principle. How does Krishna come into our lives? Gopal came into the lives of all these Brijabasis because of the love and devotion of Madhavendra Puri. So similarly, those pure Vaishnavas who have sacrificed everything in the loving service of the Lord. Krishna appears through them to deliver the people in general. In fact, it is by the great worship of Sri Advaitacharya, appealing and begging for Krishna to come to this earth, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. It was by the prayers of Prahlad that Narsingadeva appeared. It was by the prayers of Aditi that Vamanadeva appeared. We find that all these great avatars, they have all appeared simply to satisfy the prayers of the devotees, whose prayer is always a prayer of great compassion and love for others who are fallen into the web of Maya. So, this is an eternal truth, that Krishna reveals himself on the basis of the love of his devotee. The love of his devotee attracts Krishna to appear to give his mercy to the world. All the Brahmins who were present on that occasion were then initiated by Madhavendra Puri into the Sampradaya of Sri Madhvacharya in the Vaishnava cult. And Madhavendra Puri engaged them in various types of service. Initiation is not just a ritual, but initiation is truly a vow, a lifelong vow of willingness to serve. Pariprashnena sevaya, to inquire submissively and render service. This, according to the Gita, is the duty of a disciple. And it is the duty of the spiritual master to impart knowledge, not his own speculation, not his own feelings, but to impart the knowledge originating from Krishna, passed down from the great acharyas and the shastras, and to engage the disciple in practical service to the Lord. And then Madhavendra Puri instructed them how to carry out the worship of Gopal, how to put him to rest, how to wake him, how to offer the bhog and everything. And of course the news spread very fast about this wonderful ceremony. It is explained that one village after another came each and every day to beg Madhavendra Puri to allot them one day to also perform the Anakrut ceremony. And thus, day after day after day, the same ceremony which we just described was performed again and again and again, of the cooking of wonderful bhoga for the pleasure of Gopal. In Madhavendra Puri, it describes, he did not eat anything through the day, but at night, after laying down the deity to rest, he took a milk preparation. And the next morning, again, another village came. And each village would come with their entire storehouse of all grains, sacrifice it all for the pleasure of Gopal. The ideal place to execute Krishna consciousness, Kaviraj Goswami says, is Brajabhumi or Vrindavan, where the people are naturally inclined to love Krishna and Krishna is naturally inclined to love them. The throngs of people were coming to see Gopal, and people were coming and bringing beautiful jewels, beautiful garments. Some people from Mathura, who were more wealthy people, they were bringing all sorts of articles for puja. Countless presentations of gold, silver, scented articles and edibles started to come. And one very rich kshatriya of the royal order constructed a temple. Someone made cooking utensils. Someone constructed boundary walls. Each and every family in Brajabhumi contributed one cow to Gopal. And in this way, thousands of cows became the property of Gopal. Eventually, two Brahmins from Bengal appeared. They were in the renounced order of life. And Madhavendra Puri was very pleased with them. They became very dear to him. So he initiated them, and he entrusted the charge of the temple to them. In this way, the worship of Gopal was very gorgeously performed. One day, Madhavendra Puri, after 2 years, while he was resting, he had another dream. And in this dream, Gopal appeared to him again. And he said that my bodily temperature still has not decreased. Please bring sandalwood from the Malaya province and smear the pulp over my body to cool me. Bring sandalwood pulp from Jagannath Puri. Kindly go quickly, since no one else can do it. You must. A devotee is never concerned with the fruits of his actions. He's only concerned with carrying out the desire of Krishna. This is real renunciation. Here Madhavendra Puri was living like a beggar with nothing. And by the arrangement of Sri Krishna, now there was a beautiful, beautiful palatial temple. There was thousands of people coming, the most successful preaching you could possibly imagine, with thousands of people coming to the temple every day. He had so many disciples who were ready to do anything and everything for him at any amount of notice. They were utterly surrendered at his lotus feet. He had every facility to serve the Lord. What to speak of the most blessed object of all of his love, Gopal, was constantly before him. But when Gopal appeared to him in dream and said, go to Jagannath Puri and bring sandalwood back for me. Go to Jagannath Puri does not mean Indian Airlines or Indian Railways. It means walking by foot, which means many months, going through jungles alone. And then, where to get all the sandalwood? How to bring it back? Very, very difficult task, lonely task. But Sri Madhavendra Puri, all the facilities Krishna gave him, he was not attached to anything but pleasing Krishna. Without a moment's notice, he was willing to leave the beloved object of his life, Gopal, leave all of his beloved disciples, leave all the people he was preaching to, leave the beautiful building, the temple, all the facilities, because this is the desire of Krishna. This is surrender. This is true renunciation. We do not want to enjoy any of our facilities. There's a verse in Bhagavatam that the facilities that Krishna gives you through devotional service should never be used for your own sense gratification. How do we know whether we're using the facilities of our devotional service for sense gratification or whether they're being used for Krishna? The test is when Krishna tells you to give it up. Are you willing to do so? When Krishna tells you through Guru or through the exalted Vaishnavas, are you willing to surrender? If you are, then you can understand that you have passed the test, that actually my consciousness is as a servant, not as an enjoyer. So after having this dream, Madhavendra Puri became very glad due to ecstatic love of Godhead. And in order to execute the command of the Lord, he started east toward Bengal. Before leaving, he made all the arrangements for regular deity worship and engage different people in different duties. Then, taking up the order of Gopal, he started for Bengal. When Madhavendra Puri arrived in Shantipur, he stayed at the house of Sri Advaitacharya. And it was there that Sri Advaitacharya, being so pleased to see the manifestations of Madhavendra Puri's pure love, he begged Madhavendra Puri for initiation. And after initiating him, Madhavendra Puri started for South India. Going into South India, he came to the village of Remuna, where Gopinath is situated. And upon seeing the beauty of the deity, Madhavendra Puri was overwhelmed. In the quarter of the temple, where the general people had the darshan of the Lord, Madhavendra Puri, in great love, began to sing and dance in the glorification of Sri Gopinath. Then he sat down and asked the Brahmin, what kind of food was offered to the deity. You see, Madhavendra Puri had such a service attitude. He was not coming simply to enjoy the darshan of Gopinath. He was coming more with the idea of how can I better serve Gopal. Gopinath, Gopal are the same. He was always thinking of serving his Gopal in every situation. He was taking every opportunity as an opportunity to serve Gopal. So he was thinking that obviously I can see by this temple so many wonderful arrangements are being made. They must have the highest quality of bhoga offered to the Lord. I want to know so that I can learn these things and bring them to Gopal and prepare them for my Lord, Thakurji. So he inquired from the priest, and the priest explained to him the varieties of foods that were offered to Gopinath. And then he told him that in the evening there is an offering of kheer in 12 earthen pots. And because the taste is like nectar, it is called Amrita Keli. And he explained that this sweet rice, this kheer, is celebrated throughout the entire world as Gopinath kheer. And it is not offered anywhere else in the world. And while he was talking, the pujari brought the offering of the 12 pots onto the altar of the Lord. And Madhavendra Puri was thinking, if only I could taste. If without my asking, he was thinking, someone brings me just a small portion and I can taste it, then I can prepare a similar preparation for the pleasure of Gopal. But then he was thinking, how offensive I am. Lal Thakurji, Shri Krishna is Gopinath is eating the food and I'm thinking of eating that same food. So he felt very guilty and very bad. And just at that time, the bell rang and the aarti began. And after aarti, Madhavendra Puri offered his prostrated obeisances and left without saying anything to anyone. And he went to a secluded village, a vacant marketplace within the village. And he simply sat, feeling the guilt of his... He was thinking, I am wanting to eat what is meant for Krishna, the conditioned soul. This is the disease that we all have, that we want to enjoy what is meant for Krishna's enjoyment. Bhokaram jagatapasam sarava loka maheshwaram suradam sarava bhutanam yatvamam shantim vichyati. And everything is meant for the pleasure of Sri Krishna. Material bondage or maya is when we think we are the enjoyers. Of course, Madhavendra Puri did not have a trace of the influence of maya in his heart. But as a true Vaishnava, he never considered himself advanced. He considered himself a very ordinary man. And he considered, even though he was thinking only in terms of pleasing Gopal, he still considered that I am just an offensive neophyte devotee, wanting to lord it over and enjoy the property of God. So he went to this marketplace to purify himself by chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. As he was there, the pujari, after finishing his duties, he put Gopinath to rest, and then he also took rest. But in a dream, he saw Gopinath appear to him, and he spoke, "Please get up and open the door of the temple. I have kept one pot of sweet rice for the sannyasi Madhavendra Puri. This pot of sweet rice is just behind my cloth curtain. You did not see it because of my tricks. A sannyasi named Madhavendra Puri is sitting in the vacant marketplace. Please take this pot of sweet rice from behind me and deliver it to him." Awaking from the dream, the pujari immediately rose from his bed and took his bath and went into the temple. And there he found, behind the curtain, behind the deity, was hidden one pot of kheer. He was struck with wonder. Then he went out of the temple and closed the doors, and he went to the village with the pot of sweet rice. And he started calling out in every stall and in every corner, Will he whose name Madhavendra Puri please come and take this pot? Gopinath has stolen this pot for you. Would the sannyasi whose name is Madhavendra Puri please come and take this pot of sweet rice and enjoy the prasad with great happiness? You are the most fortunate person within these three worlds. Hearing the invitation, Madhavendra Puri came out and identified himself. And the priest, knowing what sort of glorious person this is, that Gopinath has stolen the kheer just for him, performed this very wonderful pastime. He offered his prostrated obeisances to Madhavendra Puri. And then he related the story of the dream and what he had found. And Madhavendra Puri, in great humility, he became absorbed in ecstatic love for Krishna. He could understand that Krishna was so merciful, so kind upon him. And when the priest saw the humility and the devotion of Madhavendra Puri, he understood why Gopinath has done this for such a great personality. And Madhavendra Puri, upon leaving the Brahmin, the priest, he ate the sweet rice offered to him by Krishna in great ecstatic love. And after this, he washed the pot and broke it into pieces and bound them in his cloth to take with him. And each day, it is said, Madhavendra Puri would eat one piece of that earthen pot. And after eating it, he would immediately be overwhelmed with ecstasy. He would think, the Lord has given me a pot of sweet rice. And when the people hear of this tomorrow, there will be great crowds. So out of humility, he did not want to become famous. He did not want to become very well known as a special Paramahamsa Vaishnava. He wanted to simply remain in a very ordinary position, secretly worshipping Krishna in his heart. So thinking like this, Madhavendra Puri offered his obeisances to Gopinath on that very spot and left Remuna. And walking and walking, he finally reached Jagannath. And when he approached Raghunath Puri, he was overwhelmed in great ecstasy of love of God. He sometimes stood up and sometimes fell to the ground. Sometimes he laughed, danced, and sang. In this way, he enjoyed transcendental bliss by seeing the Jagannath deity. When Madhavendra Puri came to Jagannath Puri, all the people around were aware of his reputation. In fact, everywhere he went on the way to Jagannath Puri, every town and every village, before he arrived, his reputation was already understood by everyone, and they all greeted him and celebrated him. He did not like this. So he was always going from one place to another. It is explained by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami that even though one may not like it, reputation is ordained by providence. Indeed, one's transcendental reputation is known throughout the entire world. Being afraid of his reputation, Madhavendra Puri fled from Remuna. But the reputation brought by love of Godhead is so sublime that it goes along with the devotee as if following him. Madhavendra Puri wanted to leave Jagannath Puri because the people were honoring him as such a great devotee. However, this threatened his service. This is a very important principle. He was very much not liking Jagannath Puri because everyone was honoring him and worshiping him. And in his heart, he just wanted to leave and get away from all this botheration of receiving honor, respect, worship, love, obeisances, gifts. But he knew that his service was to get sandalwood for Gopal. And therefore, the only way to get the sandal was he had to remain in Jagannath Puri. So for the sake of service to Gopal, he was willing to tolerate all of this respectfulness and all of this honor and all of this worship. And in this way, this is the position of a real acharya or guru. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he used to say that when I sit on this Vyasasana, I feel like a dog sitting on a throne. It is meant for a king.
But still,
because it is the order of my Gurudev, I must tolerate this for the sake of serving my disciples.
Well, a devotee is willing to endure.
If one enjoys being glorified, enjoys being praised,
then that person is in a very unfortunate material conception of life.
Actually, a guru, a Vaishnava in the true sense.
So Madhavendra Puri told the servants of Lord Jagannath
and all the great devotees there the story of the appearance of Gopal. And he told about the dream. So they made wonderful arrangements to assist him by collecting sandalwood. And in great pleasure they endeavored to collect it.
And those who were acquainted with government officers met with them and begged for camphor and sandalwood, which they collected. One Brahmin and one servant were given to Madhavendra Puri just to carry the sandalwood. He was also given the necessary travel.
He was also given the necessary traveling expenses. To get past the toll collectors, see, even for great souls like Madhavendra Puri, even over 500 years ago, still there were so many obstacles by the government. Paying taxes, tolls, release papers.
He was just a complete Paramhamsa Vaishnava. Why did he deal with all these things?
Sometimes people, when they want to take the devotional service, they don't want to have to deal with any of these things. They just go through Braja and just chant Hare Krishna. That is very good. But we see in Madhavendra Puri's case, when Krishna wants you to do some seva, even if you have to go through all of the ordeals of getting permits, and getting papers, and getting licenses, and dealing with all sorts of materialistic people and contaminating places, a devotee's willing to do it, because this is the will of the Lord.
Arjuna, he did not want to fight that bloody war of Kurukshetra.
He would have rather just left and chant Hari Bol.
Krishna said, it is my order, you fight. And fighting means, so many implications, so many problems, so many complications.
So Madhavendra Puri was supplied with the release papers, and then he had to go. And in this way he started for Vrindavan with the burden of sandalwood. And after some days he again reached Remuna, and he went to the Gopinath temple.
This was also very dangerous. He had one Brahmin and one servant. But do you know how valuable in those days sandalwood and camphor were? He had to travel mostly through jungles, through forests, through towns and villages.
There were thieves, dacoits, rogues who could rob him, kill him.
But he was fearless. Whatever Krishna wills, let it be. I am his servant.
So when Madhavendra Puri reached the temple of Gopinath, he offered his respectful obeisances many times at the lotus feet of the Lord. In the ecstasy of love, he began to dance and sing without cessation. And when the pujari again saw Madhavendra Puri, he offered his respects and he gave him sweet rice prasad and made him eat. Madhavendra Puri was so humble, people would have to make him eat. Madhavendra Puri took rest that night. But toward the end of the night, he had another dream. Madhavendra Puri dreamed that Gopal came before him again and said, O Madhavendra Puri, I have already received all the sandalwood and camphor. The Gopal of Vrindavan is speaking to him. Now just grind all the sandalwood together with the camphor and then smear the pulp on the body of Gopinath daily until it is finished. There is no difference between Mahdi body and Gopinath's body. They are one and the same. Therefore, if you smear the sandalwood pulp on the body of Gopinath, you will naturally also smear it on my body. Thus, the temperature of my body will be reduced. You should not hesitate to act according to my order. Believing in me, just do what is needed. After giving these instructions, Gopal disappeared, and Madhavendra Puri awoke. And he immediately called for the servants of Gopinath and told them that smear the body of Gopinath with this camphor and sandalwood I have brought for Gopal in Vrindavan. Do this regularly every day. If the sandalwood pulp is smeared over the body of Gopinath, then Gopal will be cooled. After all, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is completely independent, and his order is all-powerful. The servants of Gopinath were very pleased to hear this, because it was the summer season, and it was very hot. So Madhavendra Puri gave his two assistants to regularly grind the sandalwood, and two other people would help, and that was their service, to just grind the sandalwood and present to Gopinath. In this way, every day Gopinath's body was completely covered with the sandalwood pulp. And Madhavendra Puri stayed there until the entire stock was finished. And at the end of the summer, Madhavendra Puri returned to Jagannath Puri, where he remained with great pleasure during the whole period of Chaturmasya. Today, that same temple of Gopinath is still present in Remuna. Someday in the near future, we will all go there together. And still, every evening, 12 pots of this kheer is offered in earthen containers. Some years ago, I went there, and I was with one other devotee. And of the 12 pots, we were not so humble as Madhavendra Puri. I think that between the two of us, we finished 6 of them. But we required the purification. And not only that, but the pujari from the summer season, when they cover the body of Gopal, they keep that sandalwood after they scrape it off the body, and they put water and make it into little balls. And if you have, if pujari likes you, he will give you some of that sandalwood. A very beautiful place. Very peaceful place. And within the compound of the temple of Gopinath is also the samadhi of Rasikananda, who is the topmost and most intimate disciple of Shamananda Prabhu. A very, very holy place. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was personally praising the glories of his Param Guru, Madhavendra Puri, by narrating the wonderful story describing the characteristics of his love for Krishna. And of course, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is none different than that Gopal and Gopinath, took the greatest pleasure and relish describing the glories of his devotee. And then Lord Chaitanya asked Nityananda Prabhu to judge whether there was anyone within the world as fortunate as Madhavendra Puri. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Madhavendra Puri was so fortunate that Krishna personally appeared before him in the plea of delivering milk. 3 times the Lord gave orders to Madhavendra Puri in dreams. Being obliged because of the loving affairs of Madhavendra Puri, Lord Krishna himself appeared as Gopal, and accepting his service, he liberated the whole world. On account of Madhavendra Puri, Lord Gopinath stole the sweet rice, and thus he became known as Kheer Chora Gopinath. To this day, this is the name of the temple, Kheer Chora Gopinath, which means the thief who stole the sweet rice. Devendra Puri smeared the sandalwood pulp over the body of Gopinath, and in this way he was overpowered with love of Godhead. In the provinces of India governed, this is Mahaprabhu speaking, in the provinces of India governed by the Mohammedans, there was much inconvenience in traveling with sandalwood and camphor. And because of this, Gopal knew that Madhavendra Puri could get in very much trouble. So therefore, the Lord was so merciful and attached to his devotee that he told him to simply offer all of this to Gopinath. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu placed the standard of Madhavendra Puri's intense love before Nityananda Prabhu for judgment. All his loving activities are uncommon, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. Indeed, one is struck with wonder to hear his activities. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, Sri Madhavendra Puri used to remain alone. He was completely renounced and always very silent. He was uninterested in everything material. And for fear of talking about mundane things, he always lived without a companion. It was a very advanced consciousness. We cannot imitate such great souls as Madhavendra Puri. Because if we live all alone, we may not talk all nonsense, but we will undoubtedly think all nonsense. Therefore, it is very, very vital and important for our spiritual lives to be in the association of saintly persons. And in that saintly association, to never allow mundane topics, gossip, or rumors to come into our lives, but to always hear and glorify the pastimes, the names of Krishna, and to always engage in discussions of how to better serve our Gurudev and Sri Krishna. After receiving the transcendental orders of Gopal, this great personality traveled thousands of miles just to collect sandalwood by begging. You see, it is described in the Shastra that the message of Krishna comes through Gurudev. In the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, Acharyamam Janayam, it is described by Krishna to Uddhava that you should know the Acharya to be my very self. When he speaks, it is me speaking. Vyavashayatmaka buddhyarekeha kurunandana Bahusha kahinantascha buddhaya vyavashaya. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that the path, the real path of bhakti, is to make the order of the Guru one's life and soul. Because to make the order of Guru one's life and soul means to make the order of Krishna one's life and soul. This was Madhavendra Puri's consciousness. There was no question of convenience or inconvenience, whatever serves you, my Lord. If I have to travel barefoot thousands of miles, through all dangerous lands, without hesitation, it was his great pleasure. Although Madhavendra Puri was hungry, he would not beg food to eat. This renounced person carried a load of sandalwood for the sake of Gopal. Without considering his personal comforts, Madhavendra Puri carried 82 pounds of sandalwood and 8 ounces of camphor to smear the body of Gopal. This transcendental pleasure was sufficient for him. His pleasure in life was simply that Krishna was so kind to give him some seva. He was not concerned whether it's difficult, whether it's easy. He was simply grateful and pleased that Krishna has so kindly given me some seva. And believe me, this service is so difficult, what he performed, millions of times more difficult than anything we've ever been asked to do. Madhavendra Puri gladly, gratefully accepted it. Since there were restrictions, Madhavendra Puri was not at all anxious during the long journey to Vrindavan through the provinces governed by the Mohammedans and filled with unlimited numbers of watchmen. Although Madhavendra Puri did not have a farthing with him, he had no money, he was not afraid to pass by the toll officers. His only enjoyment was carrying the load of sandalwood to Vrindavan for Gopal. This is very important. A true devotee who is really the servant of the servant of the servant, his Gurudev gives him a load of service. And for a materialistic person, this load appears very troublesome. But for a true devotee, to carry this load is his only pleasure in life.
This is the consciousness that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching.
This is the natural result of intense love of Krishna. The devotee does not consider personal inconveniences or impediments. In all circumstances, he wants to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sri Gopal wanted to show how intensely Madhavendra Puri loved Krishna, and therefore he asked him to go and fetch the sandalwood and camphor. With great trouble and after much labor, Madhavendra Puri brought the load of sandalwood to Remuna. However, he was still very pleased. He discounted all the difficulties. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has said, "My Lord, the difficulties, the inconveniences, and the sufferings I have to undergo in your service is my greatest pleasure in life." The devotee is never particular. I like to do this, I do not like to do this. A sincere devotee simply likes to please Guru and Krishna and the Vaishnava. And he's willing to accept any burden on him, any responsibility on him, if it pleases the Lord. It's like our Devamrita Prabhu, president of this temple. Such a burden is on him. So many responsibilities. So many things coming to him every day. So many decisions. So many problems. He could easily think, oh, like other presidents, they may think, oh, this is very troublesome. This is very difficult. Better I just go to a holy place and cry for Krishna. Ah, that is all right. Some people may do that, but that is not how to attract Krishna. Because he's accepting the burden on him gratefully, with great pleasure. He's really showing the symptoms of a servant of the Lord. Of course, the greatest burden on him is my flattering words, which he should tolerate with a humble heart. But actually, when a devotee hears good things said about him, it doesn't make him proud. It makes him more humble, thinking, I do not deserve this. To test the intense love of Madhavendra Puri, Gopal, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, ordered him to bring sandalwood from Nilachala. And when Madhavendra Puri passed this examination, the Lord became very merciful to him. Such behavior exhibited in loving service between the devotee and the devotee's lovable object, Sri Krishna, is transcendental. It is not possible for a common man to understand. Common men do not even have the capacity. After saying this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu read the famous verse of Madhavendra Puri. That verse is just like the moon. It has spread illumination all over the world. By continuous rubbing, the aroma of Malaya sandalwood increases. Similarly, by considering this verse, its importance increases. As the Kostubha Mani is considered the most precious of all valuable stones, this verse is similarly considered the best of all mellow poems. Actually, this verse was spoken by Srimati Radharani herself, and by her mercy only was it manifest in the words of Madhavendra Puri. Only Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has tasted the poetry of this verse. No fourth person is capable of understanding it. Prabhupada explains that only Srimati Radharani, Madhavendra Puri, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are capable of understanding the purport of this verse. It is the essence of Mahabhava. Madhavendra Puri recited this verse again and again, and at the end of his material existence, he chanted this verse. Thus uttering this verse, he attained the ultimate goal of life. The verse Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was tasting in the ecstasy of love is as follows. Aidina Dayadra Natahe Matura Nat Kadava Lokshaye Hridayam Twad Aloka Kataram Daita Brahmyati Kim Karom Yaham. O my Lord, O most merciful Master, O Master of Mathura, when shall I see you again? Because of my not seeing you, my agitated heart has become unsteady. O most beloved Lord, what shall I do now? This verse was chanted by Srimati Radharani just after Krishna left Vrindavan for Mathura. In the intensity of the pangs of the ecstatic feelings of separation, Srimati Radharani expressed how Krishna can be loved in this mood of separation. Prabhupada's purport, he explains that when Sri Krishna left Vrindavan and accepted the kingdom of Mathura, Srimati Radharani, out of ecstatic feelings of separation, expressed how Krishna can be loved in separation. Thus, devotional service in separation is central to this verse. Worship in separation is considered by the Gaudiya Madhva Sampradaya to be the topmost level of devotional service. According to this connection, the devotee thinks himself as very poor and neglected by the Lord. Thus he addresses the Lord as Dina Dayadra Nath. Because Krishna had gone to Mathura, Srimati Radharani was very much affected, and she expressed herself thus: My dear Lord, because of your separation, my mind has become overly agitated. Now tell me, what can I do? I am very poor and you are very merciful. So kindly have compassion upon me and let me know when I shall see you. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was always absorbed in these sweet feelings of separation, in the mood of the ecstatic motions of Srimati Radharani, which she exhibited when she saw Uddhava at Vrindavan. Similar feelings experienced by Madhavendra Puri are expressed in this verse. Therefore, Vaishnavas in the Gaudiya Madhva Sampradaya say that the ecstatic feelings experienced by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu during his appearance came from Sri Madhavendra Puri through Ishwara Puri. All the devotees in the line of the Gaudiya Madhva Sampradaya accept these principles of devotional service. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recited this verse, he fell to the ground unconscious, overwhelmed, and had no control over himself. When Lord Chaitanya fell to the ground, Lord Nityananda took him on his lap, and crying, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then got up again. Exhibiting ecstatic symptoms, he began to run here and there, making resounding sounds. Sometimes he laughed, sometimes he cried, sometimes he danced, and sometimes he sang. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could not recite the whole verse. He was simply saying, Ayindina, repeatedly. Thus he could not speak, and profuse tears were in his eyes. Trembling, perspiration, jubilant tears, shock, fading of the bodily luster, disappointment, moroseness, loss of memory, pride, joy, humility, all were visible in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's body. This verse uncovered the door of ecstatic love, and when it was exhibited, all the servants of Gopinath saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dance in ecstasy. And when many people crowded around Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he regained his external senses. In the meantime, the offering to the deity had been finished, and the resounding arti ceremony was performed. When the deities were laid down to rest, the priest came out of the temple and offered all 12 pots of sweet rice to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When all the pots of sweet rice, remnants left by Gopinath, were placed before Gauranga, he became very pleased. In order to feed the devotees, he accepted 5 of them. There were 5 devotees, himself and 4 others. The 7 remaining pots were pushed forward and delivered to the priest. Then the 5 pots of sweet rice the Lord had accepted were distributed among the 5 devotees, and they ate the prasad. Being identical with the Gopinath deity, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu already tasted all of the pots of sweet rice. Yet just to manifest devotional service, he again ate the pots of sweet rice in the role of a devotee. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu passed the night at the temple and engaged in congregational chanting of the holy name. And in the morning, after seeing the Mangal Arti performed,
he departed.
In this way, Mahaprabhu personally tasted with his own mouth the transcendental qualities of Gopal, Gopinath, and Sri Madhavendra Puri.
Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that the transcendental glories of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's affection for his devotees and the highest limit of ecstatic love of God has just been described.
And one who hears this narration with faith and devotion attains the treasure of love of God at the lotus feet of Sri Krishna.
Thank you very much. Srila Madhavendra Puri ki. Jai. Sri Radha Gopinath ki.
Jai.
So I think I have consumed all the time that is meant for the readings. And was someone supposed to speak today? We're the only two there, so he left the curtains open and put the deity in his night clothes right before our eyes. Undressed the deity, dressed him again, put him to rest. Then after putting the deity to rest, he brought all these pots of sweet rice. And there was nobody else to have them. So we were thinking that this is Krishna's desire, we should have. So we had. And after we had many big ones, there's little pots, there's 6 big pots, and, 12 big pots, and then they have little pots that they make also. And we had, very nice. And Brahmananda, he was so full he could not take anything more. Nothing more. But I had more. And then that night, then the next morning when it was time for Mangalarti, I said, Brahmananda, it's time for Mangalarti. And he was laying in bed going, I cannot get up. I ate too much sweetheart. But by the inconceivable causeless mercy of the Lord, I was feeling very good. So I went for Mangalarti. And then the pujari, he dressed the deities. They keep the curtains open when they bathe. They perform the whole Abhishek, and you can watch. It takes a couple hours, and then they dress and put oils. And then he gave me this big ball of sandalwood from the summer that covered his Gopinath's body. All sorts of Mahaprasad. Very beautiful place. It's like going back in time 500 years. Because there's that village of Remuna is just completely unspoiled by any technology or any modern civilization. This little clay houses, and each house has a kund next to it where they have their cows. And it's all beautiful forestry all around. When I was there, if I remember, there was no electricity, there was no running water. It was this very clean, very pure place. You could almost see Madhavendra Puri chanting in the... You can feel that when you, from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the atmosphere is so much identical the way what must have been them. You could almost feel the presence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Madhavendra Puri still there. Of course, their presence is still there. It's easy to perceive in an atmosphere like that. Sri Remuna Dham.